Welcome to the Resellers Not So Late Show with your host, Baldy Pal, and co-host, Gary. Featuring tonight's guest, Philly Flipper. Now, here's your host, Baldy Pal.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing tonight? Welcome to Baldy Pal Picking. It is the Not So Late Show. And tonight's guest I have with me is Paul, also known as the Philly Flipper. How are you tonight, Paul?
I am doing wonderful, man. How about you guys?
Excellent. How are you doing, Gary? Doing well.
I can't complain. It's a little chilly here tonight for Alabama. I mean, it's like 55 degrees and windy. I'm like, it's mid-May. It's
the mid-May here. The South is so confused.
It's why
we don't have any gas and we don't know where the temperature
is.
It's not just the South, man.
It's a disaster. Stay away.
It is a disaster.
The whole country's confused.
Gary, what were you saying about they finally got that gas thing under control? Are we going to have regular prices tomorrow morning?
I don't know if you'll have regular prices tomorrow morning, but you'll, the fuel supply is apparently going to come back more. I don't think it was any danger of shorting anyway, to be honest. I think that if, again, everyone goes out and buys gas. Now, everybody's got a full tank. So what's going to happen is for the next 3 or 4 days, no one's going to be at the gas station because they got a full tank, which means all the fuel supplies come back. And, you know, just kind of how it goes. But, you know, we were talking a little bit backstage before, and we were saying that, you know, when you panic buy, this is what happens. And, you know, human nature is a weird thing. So, I personally think that, you know, we'll be fine. I think the bigger concern is the fact that this happened, you know, that you can shut down that much of a fuel supply to that much of the country through one cyber attack.
Everything's connected to the computer, man. Everything.
And that's a really, really dangerous thing, I think. But anyway, you know, I could go on for hours and I could have a whole separate show about this, you know.
Hey, so. Kayla, thanks for showing up. We're going to get to know who this weird guy is. We're not 100% certain of who he is.
Kayla
or what makes
knows
up.
Me pretty well. She's trying to be funny right here. That's what.
Well, we're going to get to know you pretty well. Oh, we also got Flippy McFlipperson showing up. Sweet up, shirt, man? Adam. Yeah, I got this from Vintage Vagabond Vins. What was it, Paul? You said the name.
I call it Triple V. Yeah, that's
Triple V. Yeah, I've got this off of her, one of her shows where she did a live auction. I thought this was a great looking shirt.
That's a fire shirt.
I love this shirt.
I thought I was going to wear a fire shirt.
Just got it out of the packaging. I like that. I like those type of t-shirts, you know, like what you're wearing, pop culture type t-shirts and all.
Well, way better than a boring hoodie, right? Like who would wear a boring hoodie?
Who wears a boring hoodie?
I know. It's a good thing this one's not a boring hoodie because it has an American flag on the side right there.
Oh, okay.
And blaze orange and Po' Boy Hunting Club.
Oh boy. Never heard of that.
Oh boy.
One.
Nah,
it's our lease that I used to be on anyway. So
Paul, did the gas getting back to the gas thing, I'm just curious. I don't even know how much of the nation it was impacted by that. Did it impact you and where you are?
To be honest, I have no clue because this is the whole chaos happened. I never filled up. it should have just like everybody else, they probably had enough. Like I drive a Dodge Ram. 30-gallon tank, but it's a V8. So, like, I usually fill up once a week. So, yeah. I'm about a quarter now. So, I will know tomorrow, I guess, if it hits me. But, like, just like every
you might
normal
have dodged
American,
that bullet.
They should have not known about it since they probably still have enough gas in their car.
They didn't
need to go fill up. But,
yeah.
So, I saw a picture. I'm trying to find it. I saw a picture of somebody trying to fill out a laundry hamper with gasoline.
Oh, my God.
From the South. I'm trying to find it on Facebook. I can't find it. Somebody shared somebody trying to fill up a laundry hamper.
And I saw a picture of a guy who rolled up with 21 gallon of those little red tanks in the back of his pickup truck. I was like,
insane.
To each their own, whatever. Create our own problems.
Enjoy that gas going bad. Misha, I
want to say hello, Misha. Yeah. Thanks for joining us tonight.
That's my bestie right there.
I saw it was a meme. It had a gas can and it says, I got 5 gallons of gas willing to trade for 2 sheets of plywood. No low ballers. I know what I got, you know.
And we got the homeschooling picker cruising in her Prius. She's just laughing at everybody.
Tesla owner show up.
I really wouldn't put it past, and not to get political, but I wouldn't put it past the conspiracy of a way that this was some way to try to push the whole electric car envelope.
Okay.
Enough said. Enough said.
Let's not get into that.
let's get to know Paul a little bit more, everybody. So, Paul, where do you reside exactly? Are you in Philadelphia, outside Philadelphia, around Philadelphia? Where do you reside?
My whole name is a lie. I actually live in California.
Yeah, really? You just like Philly because you like the cheesesteaks?
Yeah, I'm just a big – speaking kind of history, you know.
Like, totally wrong assumption I made there. Man.
Paul Revere have anything to do with that?
I think Paul Revere was more north, right? No, I live originally, if you want to get my whole backstory, I was born in Ukraine. And then in 98, my family moved to the Philadelphia area, and I've been here ever since. I live in Delaware County, which is about 10 minutes away from the Philadelphia airport. So
I say
Philly Flipper because
pretty Delaware much right County in heart, Flipper right?
is not the not doesn't have a nice ring to it. Philly Flipper has a good ring to it.
It's not just because you like the Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, which actually are pretty good.
They're pretty good, not gonna lie. I feel like there's better cheesesteaks outside of the actual city itself, but I don't wanna make anybody mad, so I won't say that.
Well, I've been to Boston. That's as far north as I've ever been. Gary, have you ever been in that area?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to I actually went to Philadelphia back in 2018, the end of 2018 for work. And it was cool. And I'd been to Philly before. My brother, he went to the University of Pennsylvania. So whenever he graduated, we went up there to see it, you know, did the sightseeing. And
that's
Hall,
like 50
all that
minutes
stuff.
From me. You
oh, okay.
University nice. Of City? Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Probably saw him cruising in his big Dodge Ram with a 30-gallon tank.
That's right.
It depends what year it was. I might have a different truck.
this is a while back. Yeah, this is probably at least 15 years ago. So.
Okay, so yeah, I was cruising on my little toy truck then.
right.
15 years ago.
How far south have you ever been, Paul? Have you ever been to our part of the world?
I've been to your part,
Atlanta area.
I've driven past Alabama. I actually never stopped in Alabama.
No, that's okay. Nobody Alabama. Really stopped in Alabama.
I've been in Atlanta. I've been in Savannah, which is a really, really pretty city.
Yes,
Savannah, Georgia. And then I've obviously been to Florida. I've been almost everywhere in Florida. Cool I've deal. Driven past Alabama. I've spent 2 weeks in Mississippi.
I'm sorry.
I went there after Katrina happened. It wasn't a mission trip. It wasn't for like vacation.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't think anybody actually goes there for like pleasure. Let's go to Biloxi to gamble, I suppose. But yeah.
So what did you think of the South? Were you here when it was in the hot of the summer, heat of the summer?
I spent probably I think about the same time when I was in Mississippi and Missouri, because I went to Missouri after a tornado there as well. And it was a lot hotter actually in Missouri than it was in Mississippi. I don't know if it was just how it was, but you guys are y'all, as you say, y'all. Are very welcoming. I don't know if you guys are fake nice or actually real nice. But
well, it depends. If we say something like bless your heart, get ready for an insult.
Yeah, that's fake nice. It's
fake nice.
Yeah, it definitely sounds better than, you know. But
bless your little old heart. She don't know how crazy she looks in that dress.
True story.
Like, it's definitely a different kind of mentality than we are in the North. People actually wave, say hello, ask how are you, and expect an answer.
Yeah.
Here, when you say what's up, that's like a greeting, and you say hi, or you say how you doing, and we just say how you doing, and we keep walking. Well, in the South, when they ask how you doing, you actually want to know how you actually doing.
I got the Kayla approval on my Southern accent. I like it.
But it's a different world, but I enjoy it.
Definitely a different world. If you ever make it down here in the heat of the summer, you need to make sure you bring bug spray and tank tops, because you're going to sweat your butt off, and there's going to be mosquitoes all over you.
That's what Mississippi taught me. You guys, the mosquitoes you guys have came from like Chernobyl or something in Mississippi. Yeah, they're not regular mosquitoes.
They're not.
They're like the size of my power drill. That's right. No joke. That's how big
and they'll make holes in your leg the size of that drill bit.
Same size. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, Paul, going back to the cheesesteak thing. All right. So, are you a Geno's guy or are you a Pat's guy?
They both suck.
I'll agree with you there. I went to both, and me and my buddy that I traveled with, one of us went to Pats, one of us went to Geno's, and we split it.
That's a very popular thing, yeah.
I make a better cheesesteak than this.
They're both good. They're both tourist traps.
Yeah.
That's why I said the best cheesesteaks are outside of Philly, like in like the county surrounding areas. I think they make them better than they actually do in South Philly, where most people go to get cheesesteaks. So when my friends come from out of town, I take them to DeLisandro's, which is kind of like Bucks County, which is like the most popular cheesesteak for, if you ask almost any Eagles player, they'll tell you that's their favorite cheesesteak. So that's the one you take them to, or Steve's, which is like Northeast Philly, which is kind of outside as well. But I would not advise to go to those two places.
Yeah. Write that down, everybody.
Free Philly advice.
Free Philly advice.
I want to ask you a couple of questions about your reselling and how you got started in it. I'm personally interested in your backstory, how you got started with it, but I'm even more interested in what your current, I don't want to say eBay, but let's just say your reselling company or your the way you work. How is it set up? I know you have a warehouse, but sure. I don't know lots of stuff about it. So let's jump back a little bit. And I want to ask, how did you get into this world of eBay and reselling?
I guess short answer would be Gary V.
Gary V. Oh, yeah.
He's the one that got me into it. Before I did reselling, I owned my own moving business called Better Call Paul. And I was all about growing it and growing it as I could and trying to get as much customers and get my name out there as much as I could. And Gary V has a podcast which talks about business and how to grow it and how to use Facebook ads and Instagram ads and all that kind of stuff to, like, he's pretty much saying, like, billboards are dead and classifieds are dead and you live in a new world, you got to be more advanced. So I would listen to his podcast every single day. And then one of his days, he was like, I challenge all my subscribers or whatever to go make an extra $20,000 this summer at a yard sale. And I'm just like, that concept never appeared to me. But then same podcast, there's videos of him going to yard sales and arguing about mugs. He's like, somebody wanted 4 hours for mugs, like, I'll give you $2. And he was like doing this. And I was like, Gary V's a millionaire. Why is he doing sports cards and all this stuff at a yard sale? So I was like, let me try it. And just like almost any reseller, when you guys go to one or two, when you buy something for $1 and it sells for 50, and you're like, okay, I can see the value in this. Mm-hmm. So that was June of 2019. That's when I first started getting into it. That's when I opened my eBay account and all that fun stuff. I started selling the stuff I had at home, like most people do. Yeah. Before I had my own moving company, I worked for Urban Outfitters at the headquarters. So I had a bunch of Urban Outfitters, like tchotchkes, ornaments, decorations, all brand new stuff that was just chilling in my house. So I was selling all that. Then I went to yard sales, thrift stores, flea markets, and eventually fell into storage units. That's where I'm mainly sourced from now.
Yeah. Well, Urban Outfitters is one of those stores where they, in their store, they have brands of items and clothing that if I had, you know, of things I would be looking for in Goodwill to flip. So,
yeah.
And you had a stockpile of it at your house already. You probably had a good stepping stone to begin with.
Because there's these things called sample sales. That's when just for employees only. So these are the samples we use for catalogs and other things. So they go even from clothes to sunglasses to bracelets to jewelry, and they give you a bag about the size of an IKEA bag. You can get as many as you want, and you fill that bag, and you only pay $50 for the whole bag.
That's
cool. So during my call career at Urban Outfitters, I was there for 2 years. There's a sample sale probably every 3 months, and I would probably spend $300 to $400 at a time at these sample sales, just filling these bags. I had no clue why I did it. So I was just like, hey, this stuff is cheap. I can use it as Christmas presents and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so then when I got into it, I'm like, I have insane amount of inventory in my house that I got for dirt cheap. And so that's what I started with, like jewelry, watches, wallets, sunglasses. I still have an insane amount of like Anthropologie apparel and other stuff that I got from those sample sales that still needs to be sold. It's all listed, just waiting to be sold. But that's where I got my inventory from the beginning.
But you still have some of that stuff, you said.
Right? It's all listed. It's just waiting to be sold. But yeah, it's there. I think I'm asking too much for it, but I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, the right buyer will come around eventually.
Yeah.
What does your model look like? I know you have a warehouse, but what does your business model look like? How do you source? How do you take local sales? Do you do anything other than eBay?
Yes. My warehouse now, I have 4,000 square feet, which is in two warehouses, but they're attached together. So the one I'm in now has most of my local stuff in it, plus my hard good eBay stuff. Right. And then the one next door to me is all of my shoes, apparel, and all of that. So when you do storage units, you pretty much are dealt with what they give you. So it's usually either furniture, and then there's some small hard goods, or it's all furniture. It's just bags and stuff. So right now, right before you actually came on with you, I rushed to get here because somebody came in and bought a coffee table for me from $50. So
okay.
I sell for locally. I sell on Facebook. I sell on Nextdoor. I sell on OfferUp, and then online I sell on eBay, Facebook, Mercari, and Poshmark.
That's is your warehouse open for shoppers?
It is not, unfortunately. I'm kind of trying to maybe move out of here and find something that would be more open, because it is a warehouse building that has tons of other warehouses in it. Okay. So I actually have no access to the outside from my building. I have access to a hallway, which goes to another hallway, which goes to the outside. Okay. And then my building is attached to where BJ's is. So like the like kind of like a Costco store, because they also rent from the same company. So what if I give my address to people, it always takes them to BJ's. Never takes them to my warehouse. So it's almost impossible for me to get any food traffic in it. But that's why I'm trying to move out of here and find something that's more open. So I could do kind of like Resale Rabbit does and just do warehouse sales and just move inventory that way as well. That's in the future.
Okay. Are you a one-man band, or do you have a crew?
Technically, I have a crew. I have somebody that just lists clothes for me. That's all she does. It's, she does takes all the pictures, the dims, and lists the clothes, does the dress. That's her job. And then I have two guys that help me with the physical labor part whenever I buy a storage unit, or if I sell something that needs to be delivered, I get them to come in and they deliver it for me.
Okay. So they just, as needed, they'll help you out, right?
Yeah. The girl gets paid per listing, and then the guy gets paid by the hour whenever I need him to. The guys probably get about 10 or 20 hours a week. Depends on how busy I am and how much storage units to buy. The girl comes in, she works one day, and she comes and takes about 200-300 pictures worth of items, and then she goes home and just lists them on her free time whenever she has time to list them.
Nice. That's cool. Kayla has a comment based on your Urban Outfitters story. She says, I used to get shoes from the Timberland factory when my aunt worked there. It was a flat $2.99 for Timberland samples.
Wow.
That's a pretty good hookup.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd say so.
She actually reminds me of a comment. I think it was a couple months ago. Matt from Part Time Pickers, they were in a Goodwill in San Francisco, and they found a Levi's like sample jacket.
Right.
At a Goodwill, because the Levi's factory the Levi's headquarters is right there. Mm-hmm. And he listed it for like insane money, and it sold. And then it reminded me that I had a bunch of like Urban Outfitters samples that I thought were trash, and I threw them all out. in like 2019. And I just watched the video and just like, oh my goodness, what did I do?
Yeah.
I was like, no one's gonna buy an unfinished sample. Why would somebody want this? You know, like it was just like, I was like, why would somebody ever want this? And then I saw what he did with his, and I was like, well, I just threw away probably 10 or 20 grand worth of items.
Was this a Levi's jacket? I remember.
Yeah, it was Levi's. It was like an embroidered kind of like the denim jacket. Yeah. And it said Levi's sample on it. And like, I had a bunch of those that said Urban Outfitters sample, and I was like, yeah,
that's crazy.
I should have kept those.
Well, Kayla says that she wasn't a reseller then, so it bums her out.
Kayla. Me and you both made mistakes.
Hey, we got your Philly partner out here, Philly Picker.
I was talking about you earlier, Joe, how people always confuse us for each other.
I think that's pretty funny, but I appreciate you coming out, Philly Picker, and joining us for tonight's chat. We will have a game played later on tonight. It's going to be a good one. It's one we've seen before, but I've kind of spruced it up a little bit. So, Paul, you were talking about storage units. I've watched it on the shows. I know what's on the show is just for good content and, you know, ratings for the customer viewers and stuff like that. Yeah. Tell us the real world. What is a real world storage unit auction look like?
Well, right now it's all online. But before this whole pandemic issue, it's way more friendlier than the show makes it seem. Everybody actually gets along. As long as you're part of the inner circle, it gets friendlier. To the outsiders at first, they were nice to me, but then when they realized that I was like going to be a regular and I actually want to commit, they became more welcoming and stuff. And everybody kind of has like a niche market, and we don't really want to up each other too much, so we don't ruffle any feathers. So like people know, like, hey, this guy deals with this guy, this stuff. So he probably gonna want to win this. So let's not really bid him up or anything like that. But when there's the new guys come in and they don't know what they're doing, everybody's really eager to bid them up to see if they really want to be part of the game as well. So they knew me as that furniture guy, because nobody else wanted to deal with the furniture stuff. So whenever there was a unit that was full of furniture, I would usually get it for dirt cheap if it was people that I knew, because they didn't want to deal with it, and they knew that I had the space and the truck and the labor to do it. So I would usually get that for pretty dirt cheap. Then I knew other people who dealt with other stuff, and I would try to like upbid them to like a certain amount, but then I wouldn't go past it, just out of respect for the people. For now, it's online though, so it is. You cannot tell who is bidding or who is doing what. Right. So it is a lot harder. And then it's also a lot more expensive now, because there's so many people, I guess, who have nothing to do. So they want to get into it. So the units I was getting for $50 before the pandemic are now $300, $400, $500 in some cases. I used to get a lot of units for $10, which is the minimum bid. I used to get tons of them before the pandemic. Now it is almost impossible to get a min bid unit, because everybody thinks they watch the show and they think there's gold in every single one of these units. Mm-hmm. It's a whole pile of trash out there, and they see one little safe in the corner and they bid up like $1,000 just because they think there's $1 million in that safe or something. So you got to be a lot smarter. Back in 2019, I think anybody could have bought a unit and made money on it. Now it's you got to be a lot more wiser with it. Thankfully though, I live in a really good area, in the Philadelphia area. There's a ton of units available. Probably every week there's about 100 to 200 units that go for sale in my local area. So I try to get about one or two a week. And so I thankfully know what I'm doing, and I can still find something even though if I have to pay up for it. Yeah. But I've seen plenty of people who are new, they get into it, they drop 800 to a grand on a unit that's not worth it. And then they have to invest the time and effort to go through it, to clean it up and all that. And they'll be lucky to break even if that mission goes through. $1 million safe though.
I hear you loud and clear. I want to say hey to Rescue and Resale for coming out. Thanks for joining us tonight. We do appreciate you. I wanted to ask you, do you think the pandemic will change the storage auctions forever, or that it's just temporary?
I've been friendly, because like I said before, I did reselling. I used to have a moving company, so when you have moving, you associate a lot with storage units, because a lot of people move into those before they get to a house. Right. So I was friendly with a lot of managers before getting into that. That's why I kind of got into it, because I would know when the specials are and when the sales are and stuff like that. So now that I talk to them now and I go to pick the stuff up, and I'm like, when is it going to go back to live again? Since pretty much we're kind of lifting the whole mandate and stuff, and they were like, we're not. the people who are running this stuff are making way more money.
That's what I say. They're making so much money. If they're getting bid up at $350, why would they go back to live?
For an auctioneer anymore, you used to pay a lot of money for an auctioneer to come do it for you live. You don't have to waste that. You don't have to make somebody be there the whole time. You do it online. People come in, they pay. Yeah. So they said unless this whole thing settles down and the online stuff dies out, they don't see it ever going back to live again.
So, Paul, but typically
it might be a little early, but it could change.
I was going to say, so when, let's say, Paul, you buy a unit, how long do you have to clear that unit out before, I don't know, like before they resell it or before they lock it again or what?
So you have 48 hours to claim it since you win it. Okay. If you don't claim in 48 hours, you lose that unit, and then they give it the next highest bidder. But once you claim it, you have 48 hours to clean it out.
Okay.
So,
so
you come in and you do a cleaning deposit, which pretty much depends on the storage place, but it's between $100 to $200. You put that in, and once you show them the unit is cleared, they give you the money back.
Okay.
So a lot of people think that that's all you lose, though, but if you give somebody a cleaning deposit and then actually don't go and clean it out, they will put you on a blacklist for that company. And they will not let you bid anymore at that place. Not just that location, but the whole company in general. So I don't know if you guys have like Extra Space or Cube Smarts down in the South. Those are pretty big here. So pretty much, if I go to an Extra Space unit in Philadelphia and I do give them a deposit, but actually never clean out, I am banned from bidding at any Extra Space unit ever.
Wow.
And they have your card on file, so it's not, you just can make like a new account and then say, okay, mm-hmm.
you know, right, they right.
have your license plate on file. So I would never be allowed to bid anymore. And it's a one strike policy. Because wow. it's kind of like
hey, so I can understand
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to mess around. They don't want to do the whole process again of putting back up for auction or whatever. It's because I've had some people that who thought they could do it and they're mm-hmm. not allowed to bid anymore. And
that is pretty cutthroat though.
Yeah.
Well,
which is smart because they don't want, yeah. that's a lot of people, new guys who come in, they buy one unit and they're out because they don't realize how, mm-hmm. how much there is to do back there.
Now, do you buy certain size units because of what you know you can clear out within a certain time frame, or does it really not matter? Or maybe in the beginning you bought certain size units versus these larger ones that require a full crew to get all that stuff out within yeah. that time period?
Well, I messed up on the first one. The first one I bought was a 10x15 that was full, and I Ooh. Bought this back before I had a warehouse. So mm-hmm. I was running from my basement, and mm-hmm. So what I did to not get in trouble with them is I rented that space for a month. So
yeah,
okay. So instead of having me 2 days, I had a month and 2 days to clear all out. Okay.
And I'm sure they appreciated that too.
Yeah, I had just people meet me at the storage unit that I was selling stuff out of, because I wasn't going to be moving couches and chairs and dining tables to my house. So mm-hmm. people just met me at the storage place, and I sold them the item at that location. But now I can move a 10x30 in 2 hours because I have wow. a box truck. I have a crew mm-hmm. with me. I don't do any sorting at the storage unit anymore. We all bring it here and I sort through mm-hmm. all year. So gotcha. I pay my guys. We don't mess around. We go, we load it real quick. We bring it here. Mm-hmm. We unload it. So when people know when I bid on something, they're happy because they know I'm going to be in and out 2-3 hours, and I'm going to give them the money, they're going to give me the deposit back, and it's good. I've had situations where I bought 4 units in a day from one place. We all fit it on one truck, and we were out in 4 hours, and I had 4 different units that I bought.
Nice. Now, I can appreciate that.
Now, I started spending me a week here to start through all that crap.
right,
but,
right.
But well, I wasn't out of the storage.
Your original goal is just get it out of their hair.
Yes.
And exactly. how much of it would you say is actually sellable? Like, I imagine you come across a lot of junk, like just trash yeah. or rats have eaten it or whatever.
People don't see that stuff on TV as well.
Right.
If I spend about $10, like a min bid on a unit, mm-hmm. probably 80% of it is trash. Now, because those are just, I just know going into it, I'm going to try to, it's $10, you know? So like if I find one thing to sell, I'm good on it. Now, if I spend 100 plus, it's about 50-50, maybe 60 good, 40 bad, stuff mm-hmm. like that. Okay. There's usually probably my best ones are 80-90% good, but there's still tons that are junk, which is yeah. what you need to know when you get into it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah.
We got a couple of people showing up to say hello to you tonight. Paul, we got Sal. Oh, we Sal. Got Jennifer Hayes. And we got Harry Humstone who's showing up.
Harry, big one for you.
Yeah, there you go. Don't pull one out. There's Kay from Passports and Pizza Pies.
What's up, Kay?
Appreciate y'all coming out tonight to support Paul and the show. I will put – I actually don't think I got around to it before the show began, but his link will be in the description below so y'all can go check out his YouTube channel if you haven't already and subscribe to him as well.
You did good.
Did I get it in there? Good deal. Yeah. Okay, sometimes I get ahead of myself.
You're a professional.
Thanks for checking on me, you know? Oh, man, this week has been crazy.
I got to sub to this Gary guy real quick. Hold on.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, sub to Gary, too.
I was on the fence about him, but now I feel like he's okay. So.
Yeah, now that you've gotten to talk to him a little bit.
Yeah, you feel him out, you know? Yeah.
Make sure he was good.
If anybody wants to, feel free to drop your own YouTube link into the chat. If you're not a moderator, I'll add you as a moderator as soon as I can, because I know it's easy over here on the other side of the view. But I want everybody to, you know, go check out everybody else's channel, and I appreciate y'all's support here at Body Pal Picking. I'm going to hit you something with a little close, Paul, because I heard a rumor when I was in a show watching a show the other day. is there anyone interesting in your life these days that like are you? Is it just Paul, or is it Paul and somebody else? What's the story there?
There may be somebody.
Yeah. I got to admit, I caught like the tail end of a conversation and I had to go back and rewatch that show because I was like,
oh, no,
there's a couple of couples going on around here in the reselling community. Yeah. So if y'all want to, we don't have to let it out. Let's just say if y'all want to find out, I think y'all might be able to catch Paul on a later channel this evening. Might add some more detail to that. Is that still on?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, but there is somebody in the chat that is going live after you. And I may or may not be in her show. So that's all I'm saying. Jen, if you want to drop the link to that live afterwards.
Well, we got a new face here, Chosen Goods Reseller. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Oh, that's a new name for me as well.
Ran into you on Instagram earlier today. She's got an up and coming YouTube channel as well. So appreciate you joining us tonight for the show. Oh man! Oh man! Oh man!
Oh, we got Drew in the chat.
Oh, check that out, Profit Monsters. What are you doing, Profit Monsters? Thanks for coming out, my friend. Thanks for joining us,
Drew. Did you get your package after me? So that package is freaking me out.
What was the package?
I can't. That's also a secret of information.
You're just full of secrets. I mean,
like a lot of secrecy going on here. Yeah.
Is there something special we need to watch out for in order to learn the secrets as they are revealed?
All I know is if I have not. Oh man, I got to call the USPS location and see what's happening. But when Drew gets the package, he's gonna make a video about it. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, you send it USPS, it'll be there in a couple months.
Yeah, I sent it through Pirate Ship, and it's taken its time. It's been over a week now, which is plenty of time for him to get it. But the hub in Philly is probably the worst. I don't know. I probably just say it because it's just me, but I feel like it's the worst hub of USPS in the world because we have some stuff.
Macon's is pretty bad too.
But like I've had stuff that I sent to Delaware and then went to Florida first.
Right.
I'm just like, yep. Why is it going to Florida?
Man, I had something go Macon, that. Atlanta, Macon, Tennessee, back to Atlanta.
Yep.
And it was a Christmas present that didn't make it there on time.
Yeah, I had it was a Columbus to Macon to Atlanta to Jacksonville, finally out to Las Vegas. You know where the guy was.
It had to make a couple of stops in Florida first.
The craziest thing is whenever the folks are looking at it, right, and they're looking at their tracking, and then the guy's sending me messages saying,
yeah,
why did this go to Jacksonville? The hell if I know. I mean,
yeah, you work for USPS,
yeah.
Gary.
Yeah,
right. I'm exactly. Like,
I put it at the label. I gave it to the people. That's all I could do. Yeah. And then like the funniest part is when like they complain to eBay, and I'm like eBay, I did what I could. And then one guy from eBay told me that it was my fault for picking USPS. He said it is your fault because you picked them.
Yeah.
And I was like,
no,
it's a first class item. I'm not gonna pay.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna ship it with FedEx and pay three times what it costs.
Like Misha says, it's nothing against Pirate Ship. They're just the people you buy the label from. It is USPS all in all. Oh, we got Flipping Midwest up in here. That's a new name for me, I believe. I appreciate you joining us, Flipping Midwest. And Jen Closet Gems is here with us as well. Thank you, Jen, for showing up.
If you guys haven't seen yesterday, there was an auction on Cali Reseller Luis's channel. And there was Castlevania 4 new sealed for the SNES. And Jen won it for $450 yesterday.
Holy crap. Jen is bidding on that. I saw her. Yeah. I did catch a little bit of Callie's show yesterday, and Jen was bidding on a couple of them shirts they had. Yeah. They had some nice vintage Disney shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah. So like I thought she was crazy for doing it, but then when I looked at the comps, there's only one sold, and it sold for $1,500 plus shipping. And there's only one listed, and that one's a graded listed, and it's listed for $30,000. So she's pretty much whatever she wants to charge you for it, people are probably gonna pay for it. So
and she knew what she was doing. She did her homework.
$450 is probably the steal for that. So good for you, Jen. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Rescue Resale says we have a video on our Instagram where a package bounced around across the entire country, way off the route it should have gone.
I believe it.
I believe it. Was it during Christmas time this past year? That was Drew just said, so crazy.
I should have sent the priority mail. Yeah, my bad, Drew. Can't believe I sent it first class.
We had a pretty good rant about that on a past show where we talked about the Christmas delay last year and, you know, where the Postal Service was putting up things like, you know, well, due to unforeseen circumstances, like really unforeseen, you know, like I understand COVID kind of caught everybody by surprise back in March, you know, and you're always busy at the holiday times. Unforeseen. Yeah. Not buying it. So
I just sold a Game Boy Advance SP on Facebook.
Cool.
Awesome.
Let me take it off eBay real quick before somebody buys it on eBay.
What was it exactly?
Game Boy Advance SP, not working, parts only, use a new battery. Sold for $70 shipping. I got it for $3.
That's very cool. Very cool. All right.
Adam just commented, Drew, are you in for this game? Oh, no.
Yeah, man. So I got a question for you. When it's off the wall, it's not reseller related whatsoever. It's just something I thought we could talk about and get the chat involved too. What was your favorite cartoon? What was your favorite cartoon to watch when you were growing up?
So my answer is probably going to be different than most people because we were poor, so I didn't have cable.
So that's okay.
My options were pretty limited.
But I only had Channel 3, Channel 9, Channel 28, and Channel 54.
I had one channel. I grew up a military brat. So Armed Forces Network. That's what we get, Armed Forces Network.
I don't know what kind of cartoons you had on that one. G.I. Joe's or something like that?
It was actually, and that was my favorite. So, yeah, keep going.
So for me, I guess during the week, it was probably Arthur. I liked Arthur quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then during the weekend, I liked Recess. That was my favorite one.
Recess. I don't think I know that one.
I feel like I just showed my age real quick, huh?
I don't know. I don't think I saw that one.
Please, someone in chat, tell them you guys know what Recess is. So I don't
chat, like what was your favorite cartoon as you were growing up? Now, when I was little, like below, let's say elementary school grade, coming home and watching the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was my favorite. Mm-hmm. Absolute favorite. It's on Channel 54. Love it.
I used to like DuckTales. Everybody remember DuckTales?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, DuckTales was good.
I think you had to have cable to have DuckTales, though, didn't you?
Well, when we were stateside, it worked. Yeah. Okay.
I only got to watch DuckTales when I went to my granny's house because she had cable.
I know what reason because only my kids. Wow, you guys make me feel very younger. Thank you, guys.
We got Fraggle Rock. Y'all remember Fraggle Rock? Yep. Oh,
down to Fraggle Rock.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
I have to Google it to make sure it's actually a real show.
Oh, that's a real show, man. That was the bomb. It was puppets. It wasn't a more say cartoon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This isn't the Muppets. Is it a different show? Looks like a bunch of Muppets are involved in it.
No, it's a different show. Awesome. Animaniacs was awesome.
I did watch Animaniacs.
What's never Bonkers? I never heard of Bonkers.
I've never heard of that either.
Pokemon.
I watched Pokemon after school. That was my jam. Yes.
I never watched Pokemon. Mm-mm. Gary, I don't know
if you can tell behind me.
I never did.
If you like Pokemon or not.
I see the Charmander.
I have a bunch of plush up there. And then these are all Pokemon Funkos on the wall. Right?
Nice.
So you're a Pokemon fan. Tell. You played the game too? Do you still play the game?
I'm
talking about on your phone. The VR game on your phone.
I played the game. I still have the app. I haven't touched it in a minute. But I did play it pretty religiously when they first came out.
Yeah, I was good at it for about 2 years, and then I just never was able to get past a certain level, so I quit. Oh, man, Tom and Jerry.
That's
a good one.
My Ukraine days. That was on in Ukraine.
Yeah.
You don't need – there was no, like, no words. So it's pretty much funny in any language.
That reminded me – Looney Tunes was really good. Although I go back and watch – I'll buy like Looney Tunes one or two DVD sets so that my kids know Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. And they are not what I thought they were when I was little. It's like there's some whack stuff that went on in Looney Tunes. I mean, messed up stuff.
I'm surprised no one has mentioned The Simpsons. Like The Simpsons, I used to love The Simpsons.
The Simpsons I watched as an adult more than I think as a kid or as like a teenager.
Yeah, Jen.
I could still probably put The Simpsons on right now and probably still enjoy myself. I feel like.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
I think Simpsons is in the category of that. Oh, shoot. It just skipped my brain. What's the cartoon with Stewie?
Oh, like right? Family Guy. Family
yeah.
Guy.
Yeah, I think it's in that category. Not, it's nearly not so as much rough kid. As
Family Guy. Yeah, but yeah.
Jen said, now the Animaniacs song is stuck in her head. You know what's stuck in my head from that is that that Nation song. My daughter actually knew that song, believe it or not.
Everybody's going to go look it up on YouTube now.
There you go. It's the Nation song. Oh, man. Bonkers. She says Bonkers was the cheetah police officer.
I think that's some kind of like Kentucky show that only aired in her state. Yeah,
the rabbit ears were pointed in the right direction.
I've only ever seen one cartoon cheetah, it's
something her parents put on every single Saturday. It was homemade. It's a homemade cartoon, brother.
Oh, here's a good one: Rescue Rangers.
Oh yeah, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. I forgot
about that one. Yep.
Chip and Dale. That's the Disney one. The Disney guys. I only know that because of reselling.
And Captain Planet. Captain Planet. I didn't really get into that one.
Water. That sounds like a recycling show.
There was there was a James Bond Jr. Did anyone ever watch that? I watched it, of course.
James Bond Jr.
James Bond Jr. Go look up the episodes on YouTube. They still have them out there. So
I watched Archer as an adult. I don't know if you guys seen Archer as an adult. It's kind of like a James Bond.
Yeah. But it's hilarious. It is hilarious.
Is that on the Cartoon Network or FX or something like that?
I think it's FX. I saw it on Netflix back when it was on Netflix. I've binge watched it on Netflix.
Looks like Kayla only had four channels growing up, just like I did.
Same Kayla.
Yeah. And then we got the Jetsons, Johnny Quest, Speed Racer, all good ones. All good ones. So we had talked about previously with some of our other guests about concerts, and that actually sparked a pretty good conversation. What was your first concert that you ever attended, Paul, and would you go back today?
Oh, man, I'm trying to remember. Because I didn't go as a teenager. I wasn't really into that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got into it kind of late in life, like in my 20s.
Okay. So there's a good chance you would have still gone back today if you had the chance.
Yeah.
You can't remember your first concert?
No.
Okay. You've been to so many. Is that it?
No. I haven't been to that many. I'm just trying to remember.
Or you just weren't in the right frame of mind to remember it the next morning.
Probably Lecrae. You guys know who Lecrae is?
No. Sorry, I don't.
No.
It's like a Christian rapper. So I think it was probably Lecrae. But if we talk about like concerts that everybody, like bands that everybody knows, it probably was Milky Chance. You guys know who Milky Chance is? Wow. Okay.
No. Don't know that one either. Local band, maybe?
AWOL Nation?
Is that yes, I know AWOL Nation.
Heard of them. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So it's kind of like that kind of thing. I'm not sure if I've seen AWOL Nation or Milky Chance first.
That's okay.
I did see 21 Pilots with like
AWOL Nation. Is that people. Sale?
Yeah, Sale is AWOL Nation. Okay. Yeah. I seen 21 Pilots of only like 200 people before they were like cool.
Oh, really? That's cool. That's cool. Know,
like,
yeah.
21
yeah.
Pilots, because I was a big fan of them from the very beginning. And it was like a 200 person venue, and I was part of it. And it was just like just stripped down show, just drums and keys. That's all. That's all. Just the two guys rocking it out.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. But like, they did a pretty good job too, didn't they?
Yeah. Like that's why like I knew that these guys just wait till they get discovered. They're gonna make it big because they were super talented for what they were producing.
Right.
But that's my kind of style. Like the alternative kind of like rock thing. I haven't gone to any of those like big shows.
We got another Paul up in here, the flipping sports guy. He was actually haggling me a little bit, saying that I invited the wrong Paul to the video to the channel.
It's on.
Okay. So how many different platforms do you sell on today, Paul?
I say I sell on four, but I'm mainly focusing on two now.
Which ones are they?
On eBay and Facebook Marketplace, and then Mercari and Poshmark are taking the back seat.
But, okay.
And actually, this from Friday to now, I've had more sales on Facebook than any other platform so far.
Facebook, huh? It's doing pretty good for you.
Surprising to me. I probably sold almost 50 items on Facebook since Friday.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did a test this weekend to see how it worked, and I put 100 items on Facebook that I had on eBay for a while, and 15 of them sold that same weekend. So 15% of what I posted sold in a weekend on Facebook. It's been on eBay for months and they didn't move. So it's opened my eyes kind of to what Facebook could be if I put a lot of effort into it.
That makes sense. Similar things have happened back in January when I moved all my shoes. I cross-listed all my shoes onto Facebook and instantly started selling pairs that hadn't gotten any traction whatsoever off of eBay. I was going to ask you, the items that you relisted on Facebook and started selling almost instantly, what type of items were they? What were they, furniture or something else?
Well, I've been listing furniture on Facebook since the beginning. That's okay. For local stuff.
Yeah.
But I just pretty much took I took everything but pretty much clothes. I was already listing shoes all the time on Facebook. I want to kind of get into see if clothes will sell on Facebook as well. I haven't really attended that yet. But I sold everything from cameras to video games to books, surprisingly. I've had probably at least double-digit amount of books that sold on Facebook
right.
for more than I was listing on eBay.
Okay.
And I did, like, today I sold a Martin Luther King book for $12 on eBay on Facebook that I had for 10 on eBay. And when I deleted it off eBay, it had 2 views.
So
got 2 views on my eBay in almost a month. And it sold in 3 days on Facebook where it had almost 400 views. So I don't know, like, why they pump out certain items, but they did. So now that I list stuff on eBay, and then when I'm done my eBay listings, I watch something and I cross post to Facebook because it's super easy to do.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, the Game Boy, I listed that this morning on eBay. It didn't move. I listed it right before I got to the show, and it sold in about 20 minutes. The Game Boy that I just talked about. So I don't know why certain items move or not. I am going to try to do, like, a deep dive into it and see what keywords, if it's pictures, if it's what it is. Because if I can figure that out.
You're shipping it, right? It's not local. It's shipping.
It's all shipping.
I think it has got to do with the fact that Facebook has millions upon millions more users on it than eBay does.
And I was telling people, like, if they figure out a cheap international shipping method, it's going to blow the roof of the doors because they have 2 billion users.
Yeah.
Compared to what eBay has, Facebook has 2 billion users. That's just that number is. You can't even think about how big that
crazy.
Is. I just keep saying, like, if Mark wants to do it, if Mark Zuckerberg wakes up and is like, hey, I want to take over eBay,
and they'll figure out a way to do it.
It just if he wants to do it or not. That's what it is.
I saw something on Instagram about Facebook Marketplace blocking some sellers. But first, before I go to that, I got to point out that Jennifer Hayes probably has the coolest concert feedback I've ever seen. Guns N' Roses opening for Aerosmith.
That is pretty rad.
That's pretty hard to beat.
That is taking the cake right there. That's awesome. Awesome, Jennifer. So I saw on Instagram today where a reseller posted that he had been blocked on Facebook basically because he had sold so much.
Oh, for selling so much.
Yeah, okay, for selling so much. And several people, I mean, like, it wasn't just a one-time thing. After he did research into it, he had found that several people, many, many people were getting blocked on Facebook for selling too much, too fast, basically was what it was. That's something.
When I first started to get into selling on Facebook locally, I was put in Facebook jail for posting too much stuff locally.
Yeah,
I learned that there's a limit how much you can post a day to these, like, because I was posting on Facebook and then to local yard sale groups. And apparently, there's a limit to that. So now I only post 3 items a day onto like Facebook for that. So I don't get that option. But online, I never heard of that being a problem. Like I said, I listed 100 items on Saturday and Sunday together on Facebook, and I'm good so far.
Yeah, they have to go through the approval process, and they got it. Like, if you share it with the local groups, they have their own review process. But yeah. I listed a pair of black toddler Converse shoes, just the tiny ones for babies, and they were brand new, still in a box. And then right behind it, I listed a red pair of little toddler Converse shoes for babies. The black ones they allowed to be listed. The red ones they blocked. I couldn't figure it out. I don't know. And see, that's the worst part about Facebook is they never give you an explanation other than it doesn't meet our guidelines.
And there's the one thing that Facebook is missing is customer service. There's no one you actually
can contact. There's no customer service.
It's like some kind of bot system or whatever, some kind of algorithm that they use. So there's actually no human being you can talk to and say, hey, what did I do wrong that I shouldn't do in the future so I don't avoid this issue. So like whenever they have like a post on it that this may not meet our guidelines, press the review, I just delete that post just because I don't want to have a potential of just anything that's wrong. So like I posted like a book about conspiracy theories or something on Facebook and said it might not meet our guidelines. I'm like, okay, delete that post. I'm not gonna take a chance. I don't care about that book sale. I'd rather keep my marketplace open.
True. I deleted the red Converse shoes. A day later, I tried to relist them again, and it got blocked again. I still can't figure it out. Now, I've sold both pair on two different platforms since then, but I just can't really figure it out. I
wonder why, yeah.
I want to say hello to a couple of guests who have shown up recently. We got Amber Resales up in here. Thanks, Amber, for showing up. And we got Rick from Unload It All. If I started listing on Facebook Marketplace, I'd have to make a Facebook page much more private. That's true. I used to have a personal Facebook page, and I would sell some things on Facebook. I got kicked off of Facebook. I didn't open another page for a long time, but when I did, I made it a Baldy Pal Picking Facebook page, right? Not a personal Facebook page. And so far, so good. Knock on wood.
To answer his question, right here at the bottom, I don't know if you can see it. It says hide from friends.
Yeah,
you can click that option. Then none of your friends see what you post. On any of your listings, so you don't have to actually be private about it.
They can't see the listings you've made, but they can still see like if you've made any personal posts. Is there a difference between the two on Facebook? No, I don't know.
Like pretty much, they just hides it from all your friends. Cannot see anything that you post on the Facebook Marketplace. Okay. If you do that,
definitely ways to make them private. They just don't make it easy to find them all the time.
Because I used to not do that, and then my friends just keep getting notifications in their feeds about like me keep posting stuff, and they're like, can you stop posting at 2 a.m? Because they get notified about it. So I just been doing that since, and it was fine.
So Flippy's got a point here, and I've gone through this myself. Once you sell a certain amount, I believe they stop you and make you submit personal info so that you can send a 1099. That's true. And that was kind of early in the process.
That wasn't that difficult either. That was pretty smooth.
And that wasn't the scenario this Instagram post was talking about either. This Instagram post was talking about basically they were posting and selling a lot, and they just got blocked for doing more sales. It could be temporary. It could be like a semi-permanent ban.
Now, was that the reason, or was that the actual post that said you're selling too much? That's why we blocked you, or they're just assuming that that's why they got blocked? Because it could be something else as well.
I will have to go back and find the Instagram post, but it did say something to the point of too many sales or overage of sales or sales overages or something to that point.
Because the reason why I got banned in the beginning for my local stuff is because they thought I was a spammer. Because I was just posting way too many stuff too quick. So they thought I was actually like a bot account spamming. So I don't know if maybe it's overposting or something. Like as I said, it's such a new like platform. It's kind of like the Wild West over there. So we still have no clue what actually is good, what is bad, what is allowed, what is not allowed. So it's still definitely a work in progress for sure.
Well, I got banned from my original Facebook page that I had for years, like since 2007. They blocked me and wanted me to upload my driver's license picture to prove who I am. And I think it had everything to do with a golf game I was playing on the Android because I connected my Facebook account to the golf game. And then the next day, I got blocked off of Facebook after
there you go, guys.
So many years.
Don't play golf games on your phone.
Yeah, never play golf games on your phone and connect your Facebook account to it. Hey, we got a crowd up in here. Let's have a little bit of fun. Who wants to play a game? Y'all ready for a game? I'm ready for a game. Let's play.
Oh, no.
No game? I don't know why that wouldn't play the first time, but this is a game.
This is where I get embarrassed like Drew did.
Yeah. No, Drew won't be joining us tonight, although that was part of the situation.
Is there any National Geographics in this one? Or
no, I don't know. You'll have to find out. So let me share my screen real quick. Here we go. Share screen. We don't need audio. And there we go.
Is that a flea?
All right. So this is Flea Market Flip. Okay. The premise of this game is I'm going to show you 6 or 7 or 8 items that you would find at a flea market. Okay. You're going to get the price that the flea market wants for the item. There is no negotiation. You have to pay this price if you choose to pick up this item. I have also went to eBay and looked up this item, and I found an average price, taking the top 5 most recent buy it now sales and average the cost of what they sold, the average sale price, to determine how much money you have in a potential profit on this item. What you have to do is, when we get to the end, you and Gary are going to choose 3 items, and you want your total to be higher than the other person. Basically, you want to make more profit than your opponent. Okay, how does that sound? Do y'all sound like we can play this game?
And I'm guessing we can only choose. We can't choose the same item, right?
No, you cannot. You cannot choose the same item. That's a change of the game that I made since the last time I played it.
Like a round robin kind of thing.
You're gonna do round robin. We're gonna go Paul first, then Gary, then Paul, then Gary, Gary.
Like fantasy football draft.
You're the return champion. You can do snake. The guest gets go first.
I can go, then he can go twice, and I can go twice, and he can go.
We can do that. That's totally – that's very cool of you.
That's more fair.
All right, so first item. So I'm going to go through
does Gary have the title on this? Is this why he's the champ?
Gary. Gary.
I've been rusty lately. I've been on a losing streak lately there, Paul, so okay. You know.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 items. Each of you get to choose 3 to make the most profit, but you can't choose the same one. So here's the first item. It is a Samsung DVD VCR combo, not a recorder, probably very important when you're deciding how much this is probably going to go for. And it comes with the remote control. They want $20 at the flea market. So you need, I would suggest that you guys kind of do some mental math and make some notes as I go through these 7
items. I can write this down, right? You said I can write these.
Oh, yeah, you can write this down. All right. The next item is a set of Hex dumbbells. They're 10 pounds Hex dumbbells. They want $10 at the flea market for the set.
They're 10 pounds each?
Yes, it is a 10-pound set.
Okay.
The next item is a Wilson-branded Profile Junior Golf Set. It is a complete set with the bag. Complete set consists of 6 clubs. Honestly, I'm not sure how many are in this picture. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, there's 6 in the picture. But a complete set consists of 6 clubs and Junior. The bag. Okay? Hey, the next
Flippy.
Item...
Flippy, tell me if the golf clubs are good or not.
All right. The next item is the Nike Composite CX2 baseball bat. And this table at the flea market wants $10 for this bat.
Okay.
The, what is this, the 5th item? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The 5th item is a pair of Nike Air Jordan Retro 12s in French blue. Nike Air Jordan Retro 12s in French blue. I know size probably comes into play here. So let's just say it's a men's average size, 10 to 12, right? $50 is the asking price at the flea market. Okay. So Nike Air Jordan 12 Retro French blue for $50. The 6th item, pretty big item here.
Holy crap.
It's a vintage John Deere pedal tractor. I actually had one of these when I was little, believe it or not. It was very cool. It came with the trailer, but this one doesn't come with the trailer. It's just the vintage John Deere pedal tractor, just the tractor. And they want $250 at the flea market. Man. Okay.
That could be my.
And the last item is a Nintendo Wii bundle, no games, just the console, controller, AC adapter, sensor bar, you know, the things you would need to play it without, you know, if you had a game. So it's the Nintendo Wii bundle, no games. They want $30 at the flea market. Okay. So I have here a score sheet which outlines for you all seven of the items and the flea market price that they're asking for. We're going to do your round robin. We'll go Paul, Gary, Gary, Paul, then Paul, Gary, and we'll choose three items each. And after we do that, I'll show you what the average sold price is of those items and the profit you made based on, obviously, the flea market price and the average sale price. We ready for this?
Wait, so somebody shipped that tractor before on eBay?
Possibly. Some shipping involved, and there was some massive shipping involved. Yeah.
that's
some reassembly required.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. So if y'all can catch up with the chat, it looks like they're trying to throw in some hints to you at the chat, but I won't give them away.
Is Flippy copping yet?
I don't think so.
Butter.
All right, so
it's not helping me at all.
I'll let you choose first. What is your first item at the flea market?
I will take the Nike composite bat for $10, Alex.
Nike bat. All right. And Gary, what is your first choice?
That was going to be my first choice. So I am going to take the DVD combo.
No, that's what I was between.
That was your next one, wasn't it?
All right. So Gary, you get to go for your second item right behind per the agreement from Paul before we started the game. So what is your second item?
I'm going to take the leap on the John Deere tractor.
Oh, you sucker.
All right, Paul, what is your second item?
Okay. I got my two and three, right? I get both of them here.
Yep. You'll get them both in a row.
So those golf clubs are tempting, but I never heard of Wilson on like being good for golf.
Okay.
So dumbbells. Okay. I'll take, I'm not happy with any of these. I want the tractor. Okay, I'll take the Wii bundle because I could definitely make money on that.
Okay. And then, your third item?
Oh man, I feel like I'm losing already. I'll take those were the Jordan Retro 12s you said, right?
Yep.
$50. That's a price. It's a lot of money. Okay, whatever. I'll take the Jordans.
All righty.
Yellow.
And Gary, your third item is?
I'm going to take the golf clubs.
Dang.
All right. All right. So since Paul is our guest tonight, we will reveal his prices first. Okay. So he first went with the Nike bat, which is $50.
It's not bad.
And your profit is $40 so far.
Did better on the combo unit.
All right.
I would have thought that would have gone for a lot more. Yeah, to be honest. I really thought that.
Nike composite, I thought it was like at least like $100 bill.
Now, yeah, remember, same. I took the top five comps.
Yeah.
All right. So you chose the Wii bundle.
Yeah, that's not going to be.
All right. The Wii bundle, its average sale price is $69. Yeah. And your profit there is $39.
At least I'm in the green so far. I'm happy.
Yeah, you're doing good. All right. Your Jordans cost you $50.
This is a question mark right here.
The average sale price is $160, which gives you a profit of $110. And your total made is $189 so far. So that's pretty good to start off. Excellent. You almost at $200 profit.
Yeah, this is a setup, though.
No setup. Gary has no idea.
Oh, that's pretty good. It's cute.
Smells like
it's
a setup.
It's a cute little place.
I never play off like that, man. There's so many possible combinations of these prices.
Oh, man.
All right. So, Gary, your first choice was the DVD combo unit, which sells for $70. and the profit you have made is $50.
I thought there was also a $100 bill right there on the comment.
Yeah, same. Same. I know it's average, but yeah.
Well, being that it wasn't a recorder significantly brings that price down. Yeah. All right. You chose the tractor.
This is going to be the one here.
This is the gamble.
This is the wild card. Yeah.
I had no idea how to price this.
Okay. We're going to jump to the clubs then.
Oh, you're going to keep the anticipation?
Yeah, I get clubs, to do
$10
that.
Profit, tractor, $500 profit.
All right. The golf clubs sold for $72.
Ooh, way more than I thought. Okay.
$72. Yeah. And that is $57 profit right there. Mm-hmm. All right. And your tractor. This is the gamble.
She thinks my tractor's sexy. Let's see.
All right, Gary.
$440. Damn it.
Whoa. Okay,
$440 is the average sale price for that vintage insane. Tractor. Mm-hmm. Which gives you, it's $190 in that one alone.
Just the tractor.
Wow. So you got the combo unit, you got the golf set, and you got the tractor. For a total of $297, Gary, you have successfully.
Mr. Rusty over here.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, my favorite color is John Deere green. So,
but now
two country song references.
Adam, think about how much work he has to put into that, though.
Yeah.
All I have to do is pack some shoes, pack a bat, and a Wii bundle. He has to pack a combo unit. It's a lot of work. Yeah. All those golf clubs are a lot of work.
That tractor
that's not going to be easy to ship.
And time is money, so I say it's a tie.
Your sales are definitely a lot easier to pack up and sell.
I'm going
to
be honest. If I saw that tractor, I would look at it and I'd go, man, that's going to be a lot to deal with. You know, I mean, it's a lot. You get a lot back out of it.
Unless
you can
sell
it
locally. Yeah. If you could sell it locally for like $400 something, then it'd be a score.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, boys and girls. Gary,
how much are the weights?
Yeah, how much are the weights?
I'm curious.
How much are the weights?
I think they're like 40 or 50, right?
$38.
Okay, that was decently close. Usually I guess get about 30 on it.
$2 or $3 a pound. So
$28 is the profit you would have made.
That's the worst
one. All
right, so we're pretty good. We left the worst one on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
you did, actually.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that game. Sorry, Paul, but Gary
we called it a tie. Remember?
It's a push.
Yeah, that tie there was fun to play.
It was a good tie. Good game, Gary.
Good game, so, Gary.
Let me unsub from Gary real quick.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, I got a couple more questions. You want to hang around for a little bit longer? You got some time? Yeah.
I have until 10 p.m., remember, because somebody else has a show at 10.
Well, that's true.
I don't know if you're...
Who is that person again? I don't know. Let's see. What does Flippy say here? Cameron, those Scotty Camerons were insane. I've been looking for one forever. I saw Scotty Cameron in this quote, in this chat, and that's what caught my eye, because Scotty Camerons are money.
Harry Humstone, latest video, he bought... a million golf clubs. I'm not even underestimating. He bought a whole van full of golf clubs, and some of them were Scotty Camerons.
Wow.
So if you guys want to watch the video afterwards, that is insane. Like, I don't know how much Kayla Zippit.
Hilarious. It's amazing.
Right here,
I got to go check out that video because, you know, I like golf clubs. I've said
he got them for free?
What?
He got those for free?
That's he got them insane. For free. He got all the golf clubs for free. I got to go check out that video.
He legitimately had 20 or 30 golf sets, like just bags full of clubs, if not more. A lot of those like vintage, like wooden ones, Scotty Cameron's insane. I must have missed the free part. Oh my goodness.
That's hilarious.
Harry's that is the core
golf
of the
club hall was amazeballs. That's what Cameron was the original conversation about the Scotty Cameron.
He probably has. Okay. 10 to 20 grand easily worth of golf clubs right there.
That's a lot of work to go through it too, but it's worth
a lot of money. That's a lot of money though for free.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't have any place to unload a van full of golf clubs, although I would really try. I would probably rent a storage unit for a month just to dump it all in there as I'm going through it all, you know?
And some of those,
like Scotty Cameron's, will move quickly. It's not like they're going to be sitting on your eBay store for a while.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they move fast. That is insane here. Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to find one. one Scotty Cameron. Just one.
I know where Harry lives, by the way. He's pretty close. So, Harry, if they're missing the next day, I had nothing to do with it.
Gary, did you ever call that guy on Facebook Marketplace who had his backyard just covered in those 50-gallon drums of golf clubs? Did you ever reach out to him?
I never did. The thing is that, you know, with where I'm at and reselling and all the other things I have going on just around the house and the whole Jeeps and flipping those and all that, man, the last thing I need to do is try to plow through golf clubs, you know.
Gary's like, golf clubs? I'm flipping Jeeps, man. What are you, crazy?
Yeah, exactly. I'm flipping automobiles. Yeah.
Do you actually do that, Gary? Do you buy cars and stuff?
I actually just bought, in our last show I was talking about it, I just bought a Jeep, a 95 Jeep YJ.
Thank you, Cheryl.
I bought it for $800. And all it needs is a fuel pump. So when I swap the fuel pump, it'll be running. And then I can probably sell it. You know, I'm going to ask probably about $7,000 for it and see what I can do. So, you know, for me, if I can invest that time in that, I'm passionate about it, you know, I know what I'm doing with it. It's easier for me to stay motivated with it as well, because you never know what you're going to get and what challenge you're going to have in front of you. But, it's something I definitely want to get into more. I kind of have another issue. You know, it's one thing to store a bunch of golf clubs. Where do you store cars? You know,
you park them up your curb. Up and down the curb.
My homeowners association is going to be livid pretty soon. Like, you know, hey, all of them run. What do you want? All of them run. Yeah. I got a lot
of
kids.
Don't you have like four Jeeps right now in a truck in your wife's car, all in your driveway?
Six total vehicles at my house right now. Six.
For two adults?
Yes. Well, two adults and a 16-year-old. So,
okay. That's hilarious. Yeah, that can justify two cars per adult. That makes
sense. That's right. Yeah, only two of them are for sale. So, you know, we'll put it that way. One's getting a full engine swap, which I'm coming thankfully to the tail end of that.
You're doing it yourself? Full engine swap?
Yeah.
That is swap. Quite a job.
Yeah, the other motor blew up almost quite literally. It destroyed one of the pistons. And so it, in turn, destroyed a lot of the internals on the engine. So we had a full engine swap it. So I got a replacement engine for $250.
Adam, show the ring to Cheryl real quick so she doesn't put you on her list.
What's she talking about?
Cheryl's making a list of single men she's trying to hit on. But you got to see. There we go, Cheryl. See, Cheryl. Sorry. Think about the list, Cheryl.
That's hilarious. I didn't realize that. But she called me cute, so I'm going to respond to that, okay?
Wait, not just cute. She called you cute.
She called me cute.
Cute is way more
than just cute. I'm going to act like I'm used to that.
Yeah, but Gary, I have a friend of mine who's 29 years old now, and he's been doing that kind of car stuff since he was 19, and he almost has $1 million
just
for flipping cars.
It's insane.
He has a 10 car garage, 10 car driveway that is full of cars. Yeah.
Well, my wife is a real estate agent as well. She does that on the side. And I told her, I said, be on the lookout for commercial properties where we can store some of these, you know, just in general. Yeah. And then have it as like maybe eventually becoming sort of the hub where I can put all the tools and all the stuff. So that whenever we do it, you know, we're not taking up our garage space. Because again, the engine swap in my garage, right? I have a 2.5 car garage. The engine swap's taking up the entire garage. You know, and it's been one ordeal after another. So I found another ordeal I have to deal with today. Apparently, one of the exhaust manifold
bolts broke
off in the head. So I have to drill that out. So that's going to be fun. But
no, he's not restoring the cars. He's pretty much just flipping cars, right? It's pretty much what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if I can find like a Jeep at a cheap price, because Jeeps are hot, right? Everybody loves Jeeps. You know, they're to me the ultimate utility.
High school
vehicle.
Kids like Jeeps.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. Just and their parents are more than willing to buy them for them. And the insurance is cheap. And if I can find a Jeep on the cheap, then flipping it, that should be the motto. Yeah. So, but if I can find something like that, like I said, with my the $800 YJ I just acquired, I mean, it's practically a steal, you know. So if I can take that money and then turn it into buying maybe two more, and then, you know, just listing them, you know, clean them up, list them, and especially if they're already running, I really don't have to do anything except for just put a little bit of elbow grease into cleaning them up, and then do the marketing part. It's when they don't run or they've got some small mechanical issue that, you know, I have to diagnose or get dirty with. then, you know, it slows down the process a little bit. But again, I
make what he does is like body damage. So like you just replace a fender, replace a hood, replace a door. There's nothing that's crazy. It's pretty much just like adult Lego is what I call it. Unscrew one piece, but unscrew. Yep. People think it's like so like it's like not that hard. Like the one I have now, I have a 2005 Dodge Ram. Uh-huh. I bought a salvage for $1,200. Mm-hmm. It only has 50,000 miles on it. So all I had to do was the guy had a tree in the back. So I had to do is just take the back off, put a new fender on, mm-hmm. and it was good to go. New taillight.
Yep. So it doesn't even have to have damage though. Over here where we live near Fort Benning, you can get really good deals on cars if you're quick and you've got the cash on hand, because the guys in the military, they can't just take their car everywhere they get redeployed to or moved to. So they got to get rid of it, and they want to get rid of it quick.
This was actually for a guy from the military. His ID was still in my car.
There you go. So,
no kidding. Yeah,
I bought it from Virginia. I had a tow here from Virginia. Mm-hmm. So there's some kind of base there.
Norfolk is there. Norfolk Naval Base is a big one. Fort Belvoir outside of Washington, D.C. is a big one. My dad used to be stationed there. So where you go to like storage unit auctions or whatever, I mean, I'm looking to go to, there's an auto auction that's actually just down the road from me. And I've been to it a couple of times, and you can tell who the regular players are there because, you know, they'll buy 10 cars that night. You know, some are dealers, some are, sort of just ones that want to flip it, you know, for some extra cash. Some are there looking for their kids for their first car. But, you know, the one thing about the auto auctions is that usually you get a chance to, you know, turn the keys, kick the tires, you know, see what you want to pay for it, and then kind of go for it. So yeah, it's one of these new sort of ventures in quote unquote picking and flipping that we'll do.
How accurate is this? Flippy says, if you've got a torque set and a pair of pliers, you can completely take apart a TJ or YJ.
Just about. I'd say you have a really good socket set as well. Having air tools makes it just faster to do that. But yeah, you can, you know, with the engine swap, I've done it with essentially hand tools. The only specialty piece that I have is the cherry picker to pull the motor out. You know, that's it. And then I bought an engine stand at Harbor Freight for $60 where you take the motor out and then you literally put it on a stand and you can take pieces off of it, flip it around, do all that. It makes it so much easier. Like, where have these things been all my life?
Yeah.
So, but.
Well, Paul, I want to ask, do you mind if we talk about this Instagram group chat that we're talking about here recently?
Oh, yeah. Okay. As long as it wasn't part of my love connection, go ahead.
No. So, just a teaser. Paul got me involved with a challenge that we're going to do on our channels. It'll be the two of us and a couple of other resellers. Who's it going to be, Paul? I know it's Larry. It's Victoria. It's Resell Dojo.
And you and Nana Tink.
And basically, we're given a category, I guess, Paul, did you assign the categories? I know I chose the category, but
no. So originally with the people we first started, it was supposed to be like a out of your kind of comfort zone kind of thing. So the six people who had originally, I don't want to name any names because there's a lot of happening with that right now. Pretty much we all gave a category that we were comfortable with selling. Actually, mine was the shoes one. So you got the category that I picked that I was my niche.
Okay.
And then we picked out of a hat, and the only rule was like, you can't pick your own thing. It was a luck of the draw. You can't pick your own thing. So the categories were video games, board games, health and beauty, shoes, vintage tees, and DVDs. So pretty much the original people who just drew out whatever we got. I got the best. I got video games. I'm not going to complain. That was probably the best one to get. I got video games. Victoria got DVDs. Resell Dojo.
No, that's just the games, right? That doesn't include the consoles or the
consoles as well.
Oh, shucks.
So that Game Boy Advance I just told about, that's actually part of the challenge.
You got that one.
Yeah, so
be looking for the videos to come out in the next 2 weeks, somewhere around May 24th, but it's going to be really fun. Ultimately, we're trying to just see who can make the most money in your category, starting with only $50.
Much is supposed to kind of take us out of our comfort zone. So like people got health and beauty, probably never sold health and beauty before. And then pretty much maybe you want to get into it and say, wow, there's actually a lot of profit here to be made in health and beauty. And I was passing by this kind of categories before, and actually now I can actually go and do it. Victoria probably never bought DVDs before. Now that she bought DVDs and she's maybe there's profit to be made of DVDs, maybe she's like, okay, maybe I'll pay more attention to when I see DVDs in the future because I know there's actually to be some profit made. So that's kind of supposed to encourage us to step out of our comfort zone and go through other things. Now, for me, I don't really have to step out because I sell video games already. But for other ones, I still have you haven't done the game. Yeah, Drew, we didn't play the game yet.
I'm home if you haven't done the game. It's okay, Profit Monsters. We've done the game, man.
I'm gonna get the track for the first round.
But it's okay, Paul. He played well.
Drew was so, a tie.
It was a tie. Yeah, the official tie. I never asked you, what is your niche? What is your category that you are the best at in reselling?
I would have said, I try to get storage units into it. So I try to make some.
You can't resell a storage unit.
But it would probably be shoes because that's what I deal with the most with storage units. I get tons of shoes. And then actually, if I go to flea markets or yard sales or thrift stores, I looked at the shoes kind of first because I kind of have an understanding what is semi good. Like I can tell you about brands. I can't really go into deep with what Jordans sell best out of all the Jordans and stuff like that. But I kind of have an understanding mostly what everybody does. Like people know Brooks are good, Asics are good, Allbirds are good, kind of like that stuff. But maybe not everybody who goes to a yard sale knows, all right, those Brooks sell for $60.
You can see it across the whole yard sale and just eyeball that whole that.
There was
sale.
Actually one where I think I looked like an idiot because I thought somebody else knew about it and I ran there first to grab it and the guy had no intentions of grabbing those Brooks ever. I full speed rushed it because I was like, oh no, I'm getting these first.
How many people did you knock over to get the pair of Brooks?
Two.
Jen says there's profits everywhere. It's just so hard to learn what's best in every category. I think that's a really good point, and I have stated to, I've got a couple of people at the work that still work in the office that have gotten started or at least interested in the reselling, and I've told them you can't just shotgun eBay. You can't just shotgun blast eBay and pick up everything that could potentially sell for a profit. You need to start in a small section, one, two, maybe three or four categories, and that's it. Learn that. Grow in that. Become very familiar with that, right? And then once that becomes kind of natural to you, then you should expand yourself to fifth or a sixth category because it's just going to grow over time. Don't try to shotgun blast your entire eBay store from the get-go. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Paul?
That way you become like a jack of all trades but master of none, and you really you can make a lot of mistakes. You're like, oh, I heard this is good, and you can go buy a pair of Jordans and not knowing that they're fake because you heard that Jordans are good and you can't really tell the difference between a fake one and a real one. And you just pick those up and make this kind of mistake. Or you're like, oh, I heard video games are good, and you go buy a bunch of sports games when not realizing that the sports games are overproduced and stuff like that. Or right now there's a huge market for sports cards. You're like, oh, sport cards are great now. You're gonna go buy a bunch of 90s or 80s overproduced sports cards and drop a ton of money on them, and you have a bunch of penny cards. So that's why I always say if you want to do whatever, if you want to do video games, learn what video games sell well. If you want to do shoes, at least have a little basics of what shoes are. And then there's also kind of a thing that don't be afraid to take risks. Like people give Drew a hard time for the last time where he picked National Geographic, but he said he's a risk taker.
Yeah.
And the same Drew is going to go and
it's so funny that you remember that though.
Yeah, I have weird memories of stupid stuff. I don't
so he doesn't want to remember that, in fact.
Yeah, it's the same Drew goes and buys a sink at a thrift store.
Yeah.
Nobody in their right mind would ever think about even comping that sink. He goes, he buys that sink, and then on that Joey by the Bing show, everybody's giving him a hard time saying, I can't believe you bought the sink. Such a stupid thing. And he sells it the next day.
Yeah. I mean, massive sale, too. Yeah,
makes $200 something profit on a sink that I would have never thought about even looking at,
I agree with that 100%. In fact, it's because of that share that he did on his video. I just so happened to have walked into the Goodwill on Macon Road, Gary, and lo and behold, right in the door off to the right, what was there? A ceramic wall mounted sink. And I was like, well, I better look at it. You never know.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, now I'm looking at sinks now because of Drew.
Exactly.
I will just kept passing them by. Thanks for putting up my elbow. You're welcome, Drew.
And to new resellers, I tell a lot, your research is not difficult. Subscribe to resellers on YouTube.
Yeah.
Watch their videos. They are going to share valuable information with you just by listening to as many as you can. You'll learn things you've never heard of before.
I don't get the people who like also say, like, okay, I'm going to stop watching YouTube now because I know everything. No, you don't. Every time I click on a video, I learn about some new. I hate using the word bolo, but like I always – almost every video I learn about a new item that I never heard of before that sells for insane money. So like if you think you knew everything, there's
no way you know everything. Stuff
you can just pick up every single day by watching. Even it doesn't matter. You don't have to have thousands of subs like Drew does. There's plenty of people who have 50 subs or 100 subs that provide good content for you to watch that shows you things that I never learned before. So like people say that because I watch a lot of YouTube because I do this full time now. So my listening station is right here. So I watch YouTube while I list almost every single day. Right. And people give me a hard time saying that I'm wasting my time on YouTube or whatever, but I'm actually soaking up a lot of information while working. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe I'm not paying attention fully to the video, but it's playing in the background and I'm picking up different words and stuff and they're being stored in there somehow. So when I do come up to it at like a yard sale, I'm like, wait a minute, I heard about this on whatever, on Kayla's channel or on Kat's channel. And I'm like, okay, let me pick this up. Or something like Drew's sink will always stick out in my memory now, no matter how old I am. Like, wait, ceramic sinks. Let me see what's there.
You know, I think that separates people who are successful versus not is, and this is in any realm, is the willingness to learn and the willingness to continue to learn because markets change and hot items change. Items that have fallen off change all the time. And brands that come back change all the time. And you won't know that all unless you would have to be so deep in everything to know everything like that and really sort of sort of getting these items and experimenting with their wins and their losses. You know, you ever see millionaires and billionaires, they always say, well, what's the key to being this? And they always say, read books, read lots of books because you get all that information. And I think that for, our generation and the way our society is based now is that YouTube is becoming sort of the new library that's on your shelf. It's just not physically on your shelf anymore. But all that knowledge that you get and you take in where you can apply it later pays off. So if you watched a YouTube video for 15 minutes and it told you, buy a sink, and then you go and you buy a sink and you sell that sink for this many dollars, well, now that 15 minutes that you put into it has now yielded this much profit so far, And I think that it's a personal investment. It's a personal investment of your time that translates back into money later if you're willing to put that in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Drew's got some good feedback here. Best thing I've learned is to teach yourself in the thrift, especially if you walk in and can't find anything. Just start looking at new sections and look up everything. Mm-hmm. You may find a new bolo and didn't even know it. Yep. That's actually... that's not advice I personally had. I didn't even know I was doing it, but now that he's verbalized it in this comment, at least that's how I came across certain pieces of plush. I just started looking stuff up because I wasn't finding anything that day. And lo and behold, I found a $40 little 8-inch dinosaur. And then I found a $45 little 8-inch or 10-inch Friday night at Freddy's or something like that.
That's amazing.
And I mean, there's money out there. You just gotta stretch yourself.
All right, everybody. I think this community is also important because I was kind of like, I've been on YouTube since 2019, but I just discovered this community January of this year. So for about a year and a half, I was on YouTube not really knowing that there was another. The only reason I was on YouTube because my friends asked me to make a channel because they wanted to see what I was getting at Storage Units. That's why I made a YouTube. So it was just mainly for my friends. So until 2019, I had like, I think like 200 subs, something like that. I don't remember. But then I discovered this community. And I'm like, wait a minute, I can. And there's stuff that I was like throwing away from Storage Units that I could have been making money on. Not just even like seeing at the yard sales. I would never list plush in my life because I'm like, why would anybody ever buy used plush? That never appeared to me. I was throwing away so much, not throwing, I always donate to Goodwill to supply you. Right. Welcome, Joe or Paul, whoever is reselling. You're welcome for the plus agenda.
Agent reseller, wherever you may be.
Yeah. So like, so before this, then I was like, wait a minute. There's money here. With like Hustling Hooks, they're like told me that I can part out different food processing stuff and stuff, blades and stuff. Whenever I would find a blender or whatever in a storage unit, I would just throw it out. I'm like, why would I ever use this blender? And Hustling Hooks is selling a blade from a blender for $40.
Just send the parts.
And I remember I commented on one of his videos. I'm like, man, I threw up this blade. I threw out this blender like a year ago. I'm upset. And he goes, now you know. That was his response. It's like, no remorse whatsoever. It's like, nope, now you know. Don't do it again.
I want to say hello to Celestine. Thank you so much for coming out. I believe that is a new name for us. I appreciate you so much. I think we want to wrap up tonight's show. I want to ask Paul and Gary. I'll start with Paul. There's anything coming up on your channel? Other, you know, we got that challenge you're coming up with, but you got anything coming up on your channel that you want to leave the guests with?
Always stuff coming up on my channel.
People
give me a hard time.
So basically, subscribe and pay attention because you don't want to miss it, right?
So I have a weekly listing show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 12 p.m. Eastern where I actually like list. There's a lot of people who do listing shows that they don't list. I don't want to name any names, but there's people who do listing shows that are doing listings. So my goal is every listing show to be entertaining and provide entertainment to the chat, but also list, and I always tell list at least double digit items after every show. So that's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Then I have my live at 5 kind of thing, which is a Saturday show where I have a bigger YouTuber and a smaller YouTuber. So I have somebody who has 1,000 subscribers plus, and then somebody who has less than that. And I have an hour with each person. And in the past, I had Drew come on for an hour, and then Katie Reed after him. This Saturday, I actually have Pickwa Resellers. If you guys know Danny, he appeared in John's shows a couple times, Cincinnati Picker. He buys stuff from him quite a bit. So I have Pickle coming in. Then I have Jen's Cloud of Gems after him. So that's that's every single Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's kind of my interpretation of Mike. Kind of like what you do with your show. That's my kind of like interview show.
Good deal.
And then I have videos throughout the week sporadically of either storage unit finds or yard sale finds or what sold and stuff like that.
But you were right. There's always something going on your channel.
That's what I'm saying, man. A lot of people give me a hard time for being on YouTube for so long.
But I wanted to share this. I finally made some cool new stickers with that new logo I got going on. And if anybody wants one of these, DM me on Instagram and we'll figure out a way to get you a new sticker. I'll just give them away for free. Just DM me and let me know. And Gary, what you got going on your channel? Anything special? Have you fixed that fuel pump yet?
No, not yet. It's kind of taking a little bit of a backseat. I've got a fence I've got to put up here at the house. So that's taking the
time. Oh, you mean real work?
I sent you a DM. Yeah,
no, right?
Oh, did you? I want a sticker.
I want a sticker too, Adam. I live right across the road, right down the street from you. So, I'll probably be featuring the YJ and its flip and build coming up in some videos. The big video that I'm going to have coming up probably within the next week or so. My wife and I on Friday are going down to Florida Jeep Jam, which is in Panama City Beach, Florida. Should be an awesome time. Can't wait. Going to film a lot of content while I'm down there. Walk arounds, you know, just our time down there, our experience. And then in June, my wife and I are going to Las Vegas for the E3 Overland Convention that's happening. And so we're going, I mean, it's basically the big event, one of the big events that's going to be going down this year. And it's their first one that they've done, but there's a lot of heavy hitters in the, especially in the off-road and overlanding YouTube community that are going to be there. There's going to be some other special guest speakers that are going to be there. One guy, I'm looking forward to actually shaking his hand. I have his book and I have his book signed. It's a guy named Chris Tonto Peranto. If you
what a name.
I know, right? Well, when I tell you what he did, that's gonna really blow your mind. So if you've ever seen the movie 13 Hours, the Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, so he was one of them. Yeah, he was that was at Benghazi that was tasked with defending the embassy there. And he wrote a book about the entire thing, you know, about being there, being under fire and all that. And his story is really, really awesome. So, again, I'm looking forward to shaking his hand and, you know, thanking him for his service to our country. But those are the big things that I've got going on. And those are all going to be featured on the YouTube channel. I can't wait to do it. I'm so excited about this and I can't wait to share it with everybody else. But good, you got to subscribe, so you got to see it.
That's
so
right.
I'm just going to say, if you haven't subscribed yet, Dixie Overland on YouTube.
I want to say hello to Victoria like she always does. Hey, good morning, Victoria. How are you? Thanks for
What's up, Victoria? I haven't been in your live in at least a couple of times. I need to jump back in.
Yeah, don't forget Victoria to subscribe. Victoria wakes you up, Victoria wakes you up. She's hilarious. Does. Oh my gosh.
She does a great show.
And usually the funny stuff comes from just the slip of the tongue. It just accidentally happens.
Every episode too.
It's great. When you're driving and you bust out laughing like that, it's amazing. You got to stay straight on the road. But I want to say I've got some things coming up too. I'm going to figure out how to get rid of the rest of exactly how I'm, how I'm going to get rid of the rest of my clothing that I have. I don't want to list and sell anymore. It could be an auction. It could be mystery boxes. I'm actually thinking.
Show, right? I feel like you lost it pretty good, right? You got a lot of traction on.
What, the T-shirt Victoria's auction?
On Victoria's auction?
Victoria's auction has put a huge, like a big bug in my brain about what I want to do with the future of T-shirt auctions. And I'm actually thinking, I'm really toying with the idea of having once a month some type of auction for our live. Mm-hmm. So that's just something I'm toying with. I got to figure out exactly how I'm going to do that. But overall, I want to just thank Paul for your time. Thanks for letting us interview you. Thanks for sharing your story with us. Everybody in the chat, I appreciate y'all hanging out with us. And y'all, don't forget to subscribe to everybody while you're here. Give me a like, a thumbs up before you head out. And I hope everybody has a good evening. You know, y'all stay safe out there and have fun picking. All right. We'll see y'all next time. Y'all have a good night.
Thanks, everybody. Bye, guys.